The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, I still don't know. You know, I still don't understand and grasp all of that. And as I was studying for tonight, it just kept getting broader and broader and broader in the spectrum of what God is doing and what God can do.
Amen.
I don't want to leave that thought, but I want to get into Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to talk about how that type of thing, what has been mentioned from several of us tonight, in how specific God touches us. And I believe the answer, why, is answered in this. And Paul is addressing the church at Ephesus. And you, if you know a little bit about the overview, and we talked about this, and I don't go into it in great detail again, but the letter to the Ephesians was to the church, to the body of Christ, in how God deals with us individually and personally. So I want to start in verse 1, and I want to read a little bit, and then I want to come back, and I want to dwell on it. Verse 1, as for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and thus not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And listen to verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared us in advance to do.
Amen.
Got to preach.
That's good stuff.
Now I want to talk to you about those 10 verses. But I want to talk to you in a word picture for just a moment. Now, I'm not into hypnosis, none of that stuff, but I would like for you to come with me in a journey of your mind to an experience in your life. And I'm going to draw a few little different parallels, and I'm going to draw it in different ways. So if you can say, I can relate to that, hold on to that, okay? And I'm going to draw it in another way and hang on to one of those pictures. I worked with teenagers for years and years, and one of my favorite things during the summer was to go to water parks. But I would pick water parks, and one in particular when we were in Fort Myers was up in Orlando, and they had my favorite part was the Lazy River. I don't know if you've ever been on the Lazy River, if you know what that is, but basically it's just a little small canal that goes through the park, and you get it in on inner tube, or you can get without an inner tube, And that water will just flow you around, and there are different objects in it. But there's really nothing that you do. You just go through that, and you enjoy it. And I always enjoyed it for a lot of different reasons. But basically, I didn't have to do anything. I just got to enjoy it. You know, if you were to say I would go in with the flow, I was going with the flow. My favorite thing. I don't know if you've ever been on a lazy river, but that was a great thing. Another one of the events, so hang on to that picture if you could relate real well to that. We went up to Tennessee outside of Chattanooga, and I attempted for my first time in my life to go down a river in a boat with about 12 screaming teenagers. And I'm sure it was only a category 0.25 if you know anything about going down rapids. There wasn't a whole lot to it. But there was it was probably a class 2 river. It had a few little bumps. And of course, I got tossed out at one point because they tell you there are certain places you shouldn't be. And I was square in the place where I shouldn't be. And we were going down that river, and if you've ever been whitewater rafting, you know that it's a team effort, and you have to follow the instructions of the person. And if you don't, the boat is not going to go where it's supposed to go. And when we hit one of those rapids, I took a dive out of it, and it wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be, but the most funny part was them getting me back into it. It was an enjoyable experience for everybody else, but not me. But we saw these people coming down this river, and it was just a real interesting thing. Again, they were going with the flow. You ever done that? Got that in your mind? When I was a kid, we went up to Kentwood, Louisiana. That's where my mother and father were. And right through Kentwood is the Tanchpo River. And up, it's a little bit north of Kentwood, going almost to the state line. When I was a kid, we did all that fun stuff of jumping off the bridge into the Tanchpo River. Ice cold year-round, and the river always had a good little current going on. But there were a number of occasions that we, what we call floated. We float the river, and we fish it, or we would hunt it. You could do either one. And you didn't want to go in if you were hunting because generally it was cold. But we would just go along and we would just do whatever would come naturally as we went through that. And I don't know if you've ever done any of those things. And all of y'all will relate to at least one of those pictures. You got an experience in your mind? I haven't gotten anything for you, babe. Do you like waterfalls? You ever seen waterfalls? In Hawaii. You've seen some of the most beautiful waterfalls are in Hawaii. The doctor who did my surgery is from Hawaii, and his wife was an amateur photographer. And in his office, she had taken some of the most beautiful pictures of the waterfalls, but more than just that, of what happened after the water hit and where it went, and how lush the area around where that water fell. So you got, everybody got something in your brain, your mind? I said and got you covered. I'm not sure I can go any further than that, but would you trust me? Now I want you to think about something. Would you think for a moment of the individuals, whether it's the lazy river or the whatever the source of the water is moving, that there are people moving through that? Would you picture in your mind just for a moment people moving through that flow? They're floating through it. Now I want you to put more people in it. And I want you to fill up whatever in your mind you see, whether it's the lazy river or it's the whitewater rapids or whatever. I mean, just fill it chock a block with people. As I was studying this and considering God's grace, I believe that the picture of God's grace is seen in that we were no different than the people who go through life with no control. They're going down the river. They are moving with the current. It's not a matter of making a choice. It's not a matter of saying, I'm going to do this or I'm not going. It's just what you do because everybody else is doing it. And in the midst of that throng of millions, and in history of millions of people, God pointed you out. And he said, I want you. And he put his finger on your heart. And you said, I don't belong in this river. And you got out on the bank. God's grace brought you out. Because you didn't have to think about your sinful nature and your sinful life and your sinful choices. They were natural. It was just what you did. There wasn't anything innately wrong about it. It was just how things happened. But when God came in and touched you, and you recognized that where you were and where you were going was not where you should be and where God wanted you, he didn't just change your heart. He reached his hand down and plucked you out. Mm. And he put you on dry ground.
Hallelujah.
Paul is using this idea to show that the choices that we made before God's grace came and touched us and plucked us out of that sinful nature is not to be accounted to us. Not that our actions while we were in that flow are not going to have repercussions. Many times people say, well, I'll get saved and, you know, I won't have to suffer the consequences of my sin. That's not the case. I know many times when I got out of the water, I was still cold and wet. And I'd get the chills. I was out of the water. I wasn't involved in it anymore, but I still had the consequences of it. Okay? Sin bears consequence. But guys, when we're placed outside, not by what we do, we can't get out of that. Have you ever tried to get out of a crowd? Have you ever been in a throng? Maybe, I don't know, Disney World, Mardi Gras? I mean, you get run over a football game. You can't get out of that flow. It's just going to move. And to get out, you can't do it on your own. Guys, Paul is saying, you didn't do this by yourself. I looked and I pointed. I put my finger on your life. And I pulled you out of that muck and that mire, and I put you on solid ground.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory.
Now, that's an awesome concept. But I would love to say that it ends with that. Paul is trying to get us to understand what that concept means, that God's grace. See, that's a couple weeks, 3-4 weeks ago, I don't know when it was, but I was really impressed. We had a video with people, just all different kinds of people, and God just impressed on me. How many bajillions, that's a new word, of people have there been since the beginning of time? And yet God knew every single one of them. He took the time to number the hairs on their head. What an awesome God. And God did that to me. And he plucked me out of that. Now, guys, listen to me. That ain't all the story. That's the story that Paul is bringing here. He's saying that this is what he's brought you to. But listen to me. Let's go back. Let's read it again. Will you kind of go with me again?
Sure.
Let's keep that in mind, what we just went through. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Now listen carefully. Is that not an accurate statement for the world in which we live in? That the spirit of disobedience is still alive and well in the 21st century. But it's more so now because the capabilities. Think about this. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have email. They didn't have cell phones. There wasn't instant communication, instant gratification, instant news, instant everything. Pretty serious these days. When you follow the ways of the world, he said, you follow the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Now I can tell you this, that when I got saved, when I was 14 years old, I was never disobedient again.
Liar, liar, pencil, fire.
Wow. Isn't that great?
Wow.
Yeah, I need a drink on that one. Yeah, I think it's some special stuff George made for me. But it's but disobedient. Is not disobedience the root of all sin? Evans, what you were saying was just listen and do it. A lot of people listening. Big difference between listening and doing. I learned that with my children. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. Big difference between listening and doing. And I had a similar experience. God told me when I moved to Florida, I said, who do you think you are? You go where I tell you to go, and you do what I tell you to do, wherever it is I tell you. Who do you think you are? I think that disobedience is the heart of sin, because I know what I'm supposed to do, but I end up doing something differently, and it's just simply that. It's just disobedience. Verse 3. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings in our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Look at the end of that. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. By nature. We were in that flow. We did it just because everybody else was doing it. It wasn't something that we had to do. I'm being reminded again that I got a 15-month-old little grandson running around my house. And his favorite place to go when the gate to the kitchen is open. We have a gate now. Hadn't had a gate in 20 years. I got a gate again. His first place to go is to the dog dish. And he'll get spanked. He'll get his hand smacked. But as soon as that gate's open, he's a gone pecan. He's going to do it. Does he know that he should? No, he's just giving in to that desire. He wants to. He doesn't have the control. He doesn't have the self-control yet. Now, he has to bear the consequences, but he just does. Guys, listen. That's the way I was. Not you, Miss Rose. Never. And then the tables turn. Then the finger and the hand and the plucking out happens in verse 4. But because of his great love for everybody. Right? Isn't that what it says? Think about it. Think about it. Take this word, and I'm using the NIV, but because of his great love for, replace that word, us, with your name. Now, we're diminishing it. No, I'm not diminishing it. putting a sharp point on it. It's personal. It's intimate. It's individual. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that Reggie believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We sometimes over broaden it when it's personal. Yes, it's available to whosoever. Don't question that for one second. But the intimacy of the relationship that God longs to have with us is pat. That's it. The end of the subject. But because of his great love for us, this is what he does. God, which is, I love this next little statement. He has to give God a resume. Who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Listen, look carefully. Think about that river. Even when we were dead in transgressions. Even when we were still in the river. Is that awesome or what? Even while we were still doing all that stuff, even though we didn't know or understand, he still, who God gave, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. You want to hear that? What that last part is? You remember when Jesus was baptized, John baptized him. There are a lot of times in Scripture I would have loved to have been at a particular place. That would probably rank up in the top five. Because the moment he came out of the water, the Bible said, a dove descended, and a voice declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I have a picture that shows that. And I know this isn't what happened. But it's God's hand reaching and putting his hand on Jesus' head and anointing him. I know that's not what the Scripture says. But I believe that's what God does for us at the moment of salvation. When he gives us the Holy Spirit and that comes into our lives and that old sinful lifestyle is not the word, okay? Because the nature's still there, okay? When that Spirit that now dwells in us begins its transformation, that's the process that people are able to see. Because who would imagine that we could do what we do on our own? We can't. We don't have the ability in ourselves. But it is Christ in us. Look at verse 6. And then something great happened. And God raised the preachers up with Christ and seated them in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Who did he raise up?
Us.
No, not us.
Me. By the
body
of Christ.
Mike. I know you did. It's us. Me. Reggie. Because of his great love and his mercy, he's made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgression. By grace you've been saved, and God raised Reggie up with Christ. Woo! And seated Reggie with him in heavenly realms in
Lord.
Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Is that awesome or what?
Man, it's awesome.
Man. Uh-oh. Then we hit a little snag. Now, here's a job description. You wanted this job, you now have a job, a purpose. People say, well, I wish I knew my purpose in life. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I read, when I was reading Billy Graham's autobiography, I don't know if you've had a chance to read it, Just As I Am. If you've never read it, you really should. Just really fascinating life. His, one of the most profound statements, and I've heard him preach this before. He said, I don't know exactly what's going to happen when I die in my being transformed into the presence of God. He said, I don't know if I'm going to talk. I don't know what exactly is going to be my response. He says, but I do have a question that I want to ask God. Why did you take this old boy from Tennessee, I think, wherever he's from, Kentucky?
South Carolina,
that's what I said. He said, why did you take this old boy and use him like you used him? I mean, a man who has literally spoke to millions and millions of people, who has had the ear of every president, save the current one, in history. Because God pulled him out of that river and had a purpose for his life. And that purpose that Billy Graham might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Will you stand up, Miss Fran?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You wasn't Fran. You got to go on the outside.
Would you stand up, Miss Gail? In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace through Gail and through Fran, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. That's for you.
Yeah.
That's for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that awesome?
It is awesome. Yeah,
it's personal.
It is personal.
What about me, bro?
You sit down. you sit down.
Oh,
not you.
Oh,
front row. We miss. We want to broadcast. And in reality, God wants to look us in the face. Said, this is for you.
Amen. Thank you.
Before I finish this, I know everybody probably doesn't necessarily, and guys, I know it was fiction, but I was fascinated with the books Left Behind. The one that had the most profound impact on me was the final one. And in, I think it was book 10, I don't know if you all read it all, but because I'm into word pictures, it was really helpful to help me see things. Again, it was fiction, I understand that. But one of the things that's described in the end days is that we're going to be able to sit in God's lap. And he's going to talk to us and speak to us. We're going to be able to stand before him, kneel before him, however you want to picture that last moment. And very often when I picture that in my mind, I think of millions of people being there. But in that book, there wasn't anybody else but that individual and Jesus. And the way they described it was one of the most enlightening moments of understanding how intimate God wants to have a relationship with me. We are on such a human dimension that we are unipresent. We can only be in one place at one time, and yet God is omnipresent. We are time-based. God is not time-based. We can't comprehend because this is how and where we live. I can't comprehend all that stuff. But yet God has designed all of this personally and intimately for Gail and for Fran. I won't ever live that down, I know. Okay. All right. Look at verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, the expressed, purposed gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. You can't get out of that river. You can't do it on your own. You can't have enough good works. You can't go to church enough. You can't do anything that makes you on the bank, puts you on the bank. Now, before I get to that last one, I want to say something to you. If you got that picture in your mind, I want you to understand that maybe it's just me, but I am constantly enticed to get back in the river. To say it was easier then. I didn't have to think about things. I didn't have to work at it. I didn't have to discipline myself. Our nature is undisciplined. And the constant struggle that we have to get back into the old and just say, oh well, forget it. You know, I'm doing things now I never would have dreamed I could have done as a pastor. Never even thought. It's like, are you out of your mind? I won't do that. Because it's easy to get into. All right, that said, let me finish this. Let me ask you a question. I don't know if any of y'all are into this or not, but can you recall seeing the most beautiful picture, whether it was a photograph or a portrait or a piece of art? Can you picture in your mind? One of my favorite places is Thomas Kincaid Galleries. I don't know if you've ever been in those. But in a real gallery of Thomas Kincaid artwork, they have lights and this thing glows. It's just phenomenal. But I've grown to enjoy and appreciate art over the years. But there are certain pieces of art, to me, at least in my mind, I'm drawn to just stare at. Because there are things in there, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, that artist spent painstaking hours to get perfectly right, whether it was a finger or a facial feature or a mountainscape or whatever it was. People don't just sit down and in 20 minutes knock out a Van Gogh. It's something they spend weeks and months and sometimes years on. Because they want everything in it to be absolutely stunning, that when a person stops and looks at it, they're going to stare at it, and they're wanting to see every detail of it, because it is so magnificent that they know without a doubt that not only am I seeing something that only a master's hand and a master's touch could have made, man, I would just love to just live right here for a few minutes and just not think about anything else and just kind of get drawn into it and say, that is just stunning. Look at verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Not long ago, they discovered one of the artist's paintings, and I can't remember Rembrandt or one of them, that had been missing for years and years and years, showed up in a pawn shop or something. And they were pretty sure that it was this particular artist, but they didn't know for 100% certain. So they took that painting and they brought it to this special place and they began to x-ray it. And they x-rayed through there and they determined that it was the actual artist that they were looking for. You know how? Because that artist had a history of drawing in pencil the sketch or the design until he got it just right in pencil. Only until, and he would erase and he would make changes, and until that preliminary design was in pencil, he wouldn't begin putting the strokes of the oil or whatever it was that he was working in. It all had to be just exactly right. And they found lines that had been erased and marks that had been taken off where new lines and the final paint had been dispersed. It was only the little changes, the subtle thing. You couldn't see it because it was buried underneath it. Only an x-ray could display. Guys, listen to me. God designed in me and you long before today what he had purposed for you and I to be. He had put those strokes and those marks and those places and those events and that time and that activity. Don't you ever think that there's a single brushstroke in your life that God hadn't already seen. You ready for this? All of that, every bit of verses 1 through 10, is about grace. Let's stand up together. Father, thank you for your love for us. Lord, I know I'm a big canvas. But Lord, I know that you have purposefully made me.
Yes.
You have put every stroke into my life. And some of those strokes I could have never fathomed would have been there. Yet you purposed every single one of them. Praise you.
Thank you,
Father. Lord, I thank you for showing this, by revealing this through the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that we would leave from here tonight knowing, Lord, there is nothing accidental, whether it's a lost job or a found job or an event or an activity going on in us. None of that has escaped you. You've planned it all out. Lord, let's stop fretting over it. Let's stop looking to jump back in the river, and let's stay up where you have purposed us and see how great and mighty you really and truly are.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. We love you and praise you. In the name of Jesus, we ask all of these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Glory.